control. She's been babysitting for a doctor and his wife down in Frankston on weekends. Last night, they came home early, thank God. They found her and that Rysim kid tangled up on their bed. Another 10 minutes and things could have been worse. They'd been drinking the doctor's liquor and smoking pot. With those little kids right in the next room, Flora said.
Oh, no,
Brooke gasped. I'm afraid so. My daughter let me keep her while she was getting settled in her new job after a messy divorce. I'll be checking her out of school tomorrow while the moving men get started packing. We'll leave on Tuesday morning. Soon as the moving van pulls away, we will too. I'm not letting this kid out of my sight until I can hand her over to her mama.
I'm so sorry, Flora, Tony said.
I hate to leave y'all this quick. I wanted to stick around until summertime and give you more time to settle in. Zed moved from his chair to hug her.
It's okay. We'll make it. Cassidy needs a change and your 10 years passed when you could have retired. I'm just grateful for every single day that you've worked with us. Annie would understand.
I'll sure miss all y'all, but I gotta do what's best for Cassidy. Flora stood up and wiped tears from her eyes. Zed, I'll be calling to check on y'all from time to time. You take care of yourself. She left them still reeling from the news.
Well, now, what are we going to do about this turn of events?
Zed asked. Tawny caught Dana's bewildered gaze and then shifted her eyes to Harper, who looked like she could chew up railroad ties and spit out tinker toys. Her oldest sister was already trying to fix the problem, just like older children did. The middle one was wishing that she could shake some sense into Cassidy.
Okay, here's my 2 cents, Tawny said. Dana, you take on the reservations and checking in and out at the store. I'll fall into Flora's place cleaning rooms. Brooke has done it often enough now that if I don't get it done right, she can show me what I'm doing wrong. When the store closes, we'll put a sign on the door for the folks checking in late to come to Cabin 7 and I'll take care of them. Harper can help me out in the laundry when she has downtime in the cafe, if I'm behind. 3 people used to run this place and now we've got 5, so we can do this.
Tawny, your plan sounds solid to me, Harper said. But Brooke, how do you feel about this? I don't mean the new plans. I mean your friend Cassidy leaving. Brooke sat down on her mother's lap.
To tell the truth, I've been kind of steering clear of Cassidy because she was getting more and more tangled up with Rysim.
So this isn't going to hurt you too much?
Zed asked.
Nope. But Aunt Tawny, we better get some breakfast because you're going to be real busy all morning. Do I get a raise? After all, I'm the supervisor now.
Brooke grinned. Zed threw back his head and guffawed until he had a coughing fit.
Y'all just proved that you are Annie's kin for sure. Dana, you didn't weigh in on taking on that much more work.
It's fine with me. Sounds like Tawny came up with a good plan there, Dana said.
Yes, sir. Annie would be proud of you all. Now I'm going to stop making breakfast.
If we can have some chocolate chip pancakes, I'll help, Tawny said, and the lyrics from Miranda's song played through her head again, saying she'd heard that folks couldn't go home again.
They're wrong, Tawny thought, as she followed Zed to the kitchen. I've come home, and this is where I'm staying. Chapter 17 Heat seemed to bother Zed more than the cold lately. He was not looking forward to summer. Yet gratitude filled him Monday afternoon that the transition of jobs had gone so well, and that Harper had made a run to the laundry house to help Tawny out. The rooms had been cleaned and were ready for any new guests, and Dana had taken care of checkouts without a hitch. Of course, she'd had to do it the old-fashioned way with paper and pen, but still, it looked like Tawny had come up with a good idea.
I'm right proud of her, Annie,
Zed said as he dropped a cigarette butt into the receptacle and lit up another one.
Don't fuss at me. I need 2 today after Flora quitting.
Who are you talking to, Zed?
Peyton sat down on the bench beside him.
Annie, I talk to her a lot since she's passed on. And if I'm lucky, she talks to me.
He shifted in his seat before he went on.
Blue plate special is wiped completely out, but I can make you a burger if you're hungry.
I'm not in a big hurry, Peyton said. Hear you lost your longtime helper. I know how that feels, but things do tend to work themselves out in those cases.
Yep, and better than I thought they might.
Zed took a couple more long draws from the cigarette and then put it into the little hole at the top of the butt bin. Before he could stand up, Brooke rounded the side of the building, her book bag slung over one shoulder and looking like she had the weight of the world sitting on her shoulders. She plopped down on the grass in front of Zed and laid her head on his knee.
I got in big trouble at school, and I have to spend this whole week in the in-school suspension place. The upside is that I got my homework done. The downside is that I have to tell Mama.
Want to practice on us first?
Peyton asked.
The fight wasn't even my fault, but since I threw the first punch, the rules say that I started it.
Did you finish it?
Zed asked. Her nod was slow and her sigh audible.
Bryson came up to me in the hallway as soon as I got to my locker and tried to hand me a joint. When I refused it, he tried to put it in my pocket. So I took a step back and it fell on the floor. Then he whispered that I could take Cassidy's place if I'd just pick it up. He said he didn't date good girls, so if I wanted what Cassidy got, then I had to dirty up my act. That's when I decked him.
Peyton leaned forward and checked her face for bruises.
That sorry little punk. Did he hit you back?
Zed's hands shook, and he knotted them into fists. Damn little punk, talking to his baby girl like that. He ought to be beat on like he was a piñata.
He's a lot bigger than me, but I don't think he ever took martial arts classes like I did, she said. He doubled up his fists and took a swing, but I blocked it and gave him a pretty good working over by the time the teachers pulled us apart.
And then?
Peyton asked.
Then we went to the office right along with Mr. Green, who'd seen everything. He didn't hear what Bryson said, but he saw the business with the joint and all. Bryson was supposed to spend the rest of the year in suspension, but his mama came and checked him out of school. I heard that he'll be homeschooled.
How would you like to be stuck at home every day like Bryson is going to be and never see kids your age?
Peyton asked.
Not very good, but I don't feel a bit sorry for him, she said. A bunch of kids on the bus told me that if they could, they'd go to suspension a day for me. So I guess I made some new friends. But Mama's going to be disappointed because I didn't control my temper. It's just that I was so mad at him. Poor Cassidy thinks that he loves her and he was only using her, and if I told her that, she wouldn't believe me.
She stopped to catch her breath.
I'm not going to tell Mama until tonight. You think she'll ground me for the rest of my life?
Peyton chuckled.
Maybe only until you're 40. Or 50.
Zed laughed with him. Brooke swung her forefinger around to take both of them in.
It's not funny.
I'd have given my right lung to have seen that fight. I bet it was kind of funny. That big boy thinking he could whip you, or worse yet, turn you into his little pot-smoking girlfriend.
Zed slapped his thigh and kept laughing until he had to pull a handkerchief from the pocket of his overalls.
I bet he'll be glad to stay at home the rest of his year,
Peyton said.
Can you imagine how his tough friends would tease him about a little wisp of a girl whipping his butt?
Brooke stood up and slung her book bag over her shoulder.
I hope Mama thinks like y'all do. I'm off to the laundry to help Aunt Tawny. Is that where Aunt Harper is?
Yep, but since the boss is back, you can tell her to come on to the cafe.
Zed continued to wipe at his eyes. A wide grin split Brooke's sweet little face, and for a second, Zed took credit for her perfectly even white teeth. He might not share actual DNA with those girls, but he figured he loved them more than blood kin, so he could have passed down his smile to her. Harper was busy folding towels and Tawny was replenishing the maid's cart when Brooke entered the small laundry building. Tawny motioned for her to come over and inspect the cart.
I think I've got it arranged just like Flora did, but it wouldn't hurt for you to pass judgment.
Wow, I really do feel like a supervisor,
Brooke laughed.
Just remember that supervising brings on lots more responsibilities, Harper warned.
Then maybe I don't want the job. I've got enough on my plate as it is,
Brooke sighed.
Oh yeah, Uncle Zed says for you to come on back to the cafe. But can you wait just 5 more minutes?
She dropped her backpack on a folding table and nodded at the cart.
Looks like Flora did it herself.
What do you need, kiddo?
Harper asked.
I was wondering if maybe y'all could come to the house tonight and be there when I tell Mama about the trouble I got in today at school. She's going to be real disappointed in me.
Brooke hopped up on the folding table, her legs dangling and her shoulders sagging.
What happened, honey?
Tawny stopped what she was doing and sat beside her. Tawny laid a supporting hand on Brooke's knee. She knew what it was like to be apprehensive about having to come home and admit to trouble at school.
"Tell us what happened," she said.
Brooke told them the same story, word for word, that she'd told Zed and Peyton.
"Mama sent me to martial arts classes for a couple of years so I could get rid of my anger. Not use it on someone when I was angry, but damn it!"
She clamped a hand on her mouth.
"I'm not supposed to cuss either." "But damn it,"
Tawny grinned.
"The way I see it is that you were protecting yourself and not taking the rap for drugs again. Flora is doing the right thing getting Cassidy away from that little thug. I'm proud of you, girl. But you are right. You've got to come clean with your mama." "That means you'll come to the house about 7:30 then?"
Brooke asked. "Of course we will." Harper patted her shoulder. "We'll always be there to support you. But also know that we won't fight for you with your mama if we think you are wrong."
"Thanks. Now you can go on to the cafe. I think Uncle Zed is fixing a burger for Peyton, and it won't be long until the fishermen start coming in for supper," she said.
"Yes, boss," Harper grinned.
"I wish I was smart enough to really be a boss."
Brooke let out a long whoosh of pent-up air.
"You are well on the way," Tawny said. "Let's go work over in cabins 1 and 2. The folks in there had do not disturb signs on their doors until half an hour ago."
"Yes, ma'am. I love y'all," Brooke said.
"Love you more," both Harper and Tawny said at the same time.
"Y'all sounded just like Granny Annie. She used to say that all the time."
"Best compliment I've ever had."
Tawny pushed the cart out the door behind Harper. Harper and Zed got finished in the cafe a little early that evening, so she had 30 minutes before she had to be at Dana's place to support Brooke. The girl had spunk, and she hadn't started the fight, even if she had thrown the first punch, so Dana should go easy on her when it came to her punishment for getting in trouble at school. She'd rushed to her cabin and took a hot bath to ease some of the aches and pains out of her legs and back. Keeping an eye on the clock she'd hung beside the vanity mirror, she reluctantly crawled out after 15 minutes and wrapped a towel around her body. She was halfway across the floor when she heard the familiar sound of a truck parking in front of her cabin. She hurriedly threw on underwear, jeans, and a clean t-shirt and slung open the door as Wyatt raised his hand to knock. Grabbing his hand, she pulled him inside and wrapped her arms around his neck.
"I'm so glad to see you, but we've only got 5 minutes. I've got to be at Dana's in 10.
His lips found hers in a long, passionate kiss that sent sparks bouncing off the cabin walls. Teasing her mouth open with the tip of his tongue, he deepened the next one, leaving them both panting when it ended.
"Why?" He led her to the bed and pulled her down in his lap. "Do you?"
Another scorching hot kiss.
"Have to go to Dana's?"
"Because Brooke got in trouble and she wants me and Tawny there when she tells her mother. I'll tell you the story later, but I really have to go right now."
She planted one more kiss on his lips and then hurried out the door. Tawny was already there when she arrived, equally out of breath because she'd jogged the distance in a pair of flip-flops. Brooke was curled up on the end of the sofa. Dana was in the rocking chair, and from the way she raised an eyebrow, all of what was about to go down was not a total surprise. Had Uncle Zed told her?
"Okay," Brooke said. "Mama, I've got something to tell you."
And she went on with the story.
"I started the actual fight, and I have to go to in-school suspension for a week for it. That boy's a jerk, but I shouldn't have hit him first or as many times as I did before the teacher pulled me off him."
"And what did you do when the teacher got you away from him?"
Dana asked.
"I kicked him 2 more times, and Mr. Green came running out of his room and grabbed my legs, and they hauled me into the office," she said. "Mr. Green was as big a jerk as Ryson when he was here at the lake. But he did stand up for me and tell the truth about what happened."
"I'm glad you told me. But I've got to admit that Marcus Green called me right after school and told me the whole story, pretty much the same way you just did. And he apologized for being such a jackass when he was here,"
Dana said.
"You let your temper get away from you again, didn't you?"
"I sure did. But he made me so mad when he said that about Cassidy. She thinks she's in love with him, and he just used her. We might not be the friends that we were in the first week I was here, but it just isn't right for a boy to be that disrespectful. He should take lessons from Peyton on how to treat a lady,"
Brooke said. Harper wished she'd had the wisdom that Brooke had when she was that age. Suddenly, it dawned on her that they were all three sitting there together, and that a child had brought them together. The morning that she'd baptized herself seemed to have been a turning point for them, and yet, something said they weren't nearly ready to take that big step from sometime sisters to real ones.
"So if you were the mother, what would you do?"
Dana asked. Brooke's brown eyebrows drew down into a solid line, and her full mouth disappeared as she gave it serious thought.
"I would take away my cell phone for the week I have to go to suspension, but it doesn't work here anyway, so that wouldn't be a very good punishment for this."
"It sounds like a fantastic punishment to me," Harper said. "It's not your fault there's no service."
"But that's not right," Brooke said. "Me and Mama, we got this thing about fairness and honesty."
Dana bit back tears, but one lonely little drop escaped and ran down her cheek.
"I've got something to say, and I don't want any one of you to ask a question or utter a word until I'm finished. It's difficult, and I'm afraid I won't be able to get it all out if you do."
She started talking, and Harper could hardly believe what she was hearing.
"Brooke's father cheated on me, but the real reason I left him was because of his terrible temper. He knocked me around a couple of times, but then one night he slapped Brooke. She hadn't done a thing wrong, but he was furious with me because he thought I'd looked at another man. I kicked him out. She and I moved, and we've never seen him since. So, darling girl, I've not always been honest, and I apologize for that."
Brooke rushed to her mother's side, dropped down on her knees, and put her head in Dana's lap.
"You might not have been totally honest, but it was to protect me, at least mostly. And I've known that you weren't married to my daddy for years. I found the birth certificate a long time ago. I promise I'll work harder on my temper, because I sure wouldn't ever want to get angry enough to hit one of my kids."
"Then I think 2 weeks without your cell phone is punishment enough for not controlling that temper."
Dana swiped a hand across her cheek.
"And just between us and your two aunts, thank God I paid for those martial arts lessons."
Harper's voice came out high and squeaky when she said,
"Good Lord! I thought you were perfect, and now you tell us this?" "Well, I thought you two were princesses, and I was the big old black sheep in the family," Dana shot back.
"Wow," Tony gasped. "Just plain old wow. How could you ever trust a man again after that? And why didn't you marry him?"
"He said that his first marriage taught him a lesson. I thought he'd change his mind when Brooke was born."
"He didn't," Dana answered.
"I'd sure like to know where he lives right now, because I would just love to use my martial arts training on him,"
Tawny said.
"You can fight?" Brooke asked. "Kickboxing,"
Tawny answered.
"Took 3 classes of it in college for my phys ed requirement." "Okay, now that Dana has bared her soul, I'm going to get back to my cabin and do some book work before I go to bed. And Harper here has company waiting for her in the form of a tall, dark-haired man she's been in love with for 10 years.
"I have not. That was lust and this is friendship," Harper argued.
"Uh-huh,"
Tawny laughed.
"I love the whole bunch of you," Brooke said. "And thanks for being here for me. Mama, let's have a beer to celebrate all this being out in the open."
"You can have a beer when you are 40 and not a day before," Dana declared.
Harper waved as she crossed the floor and hurried back to her cabin. She found Wyatt propped up in bed, watching one of the 2 television channels. She kicked the door shut with her heel, tossed her flip-flops in a corner, and curled up beside him.
"You aren't going to believe this," she said.
He hit a button on the remote to turn off the TV.
"I'm all ears, darling."
Zed leaned back in the recliner that Monday evening, sipped on a glass of lemonade, and told Annie all about the incident with Brooke.
"I so wish you could have been here. I know I'm not exaggerating one bit of it. She really did whip the snot out of that kid, and he finally got his comeuppance for what happened. I intend to tell Flora about it when she gets settled and calls me. But right now, I'm remembering a time when Marvin Hopper made fun of me at school because I didn't have good shoes and my overalls had patches,"
he said with a deep chuckle. He finished off the last of the lemonade and set the glass on the table between the recliners.
"She whipped on that boy just like you did Marvin. I felt bad that you fought my battle that day. I should have taken care of it. but then it didn't seem like such a big deal. My overalls did have patches, and there were holes in the soles of my shoes. Only time I fought was with Seamus when he got drunk and said that you couldn't cook worth a damn. Did I ever tell you about that?
Leaning his head back, he shut his eyes and listened intently, then smiled.
I know, darling. You really didn't like to cook, and you didn't have to. My mama made sure there was good food every day in the cafe, and then I took over the job. But Seamus was disrespecting you when he said that, and he had to pay for it. Did you know that he fired me because of that?
He listened a while longer.
So you did know. I'd bet my right lung, sorry, as it is these days, that you're the reason that he hired me back the next day and said he'd never talk ugly about you again.
Finally, he opened his eyes.
Well, I guess you're done talking for tonight, so I'll go on to bed. On a final note, I think we're beginning to see more and more progress on our girls acting like family should.
Chapter 18. Tony stood under the shower for several minutes, letting the cool water take away the sweat and grime of working in the laundry and cleaning rooms. If someone had tried to convince her that she would like the physical work more than sitting at a desk all day, she would have declared them insane. But it was the truth. She enjoyed the instant gratification of walking into a messy cabin and leaving it spick and span, smelling clean and with a bed made so tight that quarters could bounce on the chenille spread. Besides, she got to work with Brooke, who had a knack for making the simplest thing that happened at her school into a comedy act. Tawny hoped that when Brooke got into high school the next year, she enrolled in some drama classes and learned how to stand on a stage without fear. Not that Brooke would be afraid of anything, but the classes would help her tremendously if she ever did get into comedy. She reached out and adjusted the water to a warmer level, washed her honey blonde hair, and used conditioner twice before she got out of the shower. With a towel around her head and one around her body, she padded out into her little office area. She waltzed around the room to Alison Porter singing Deep Water on the radio. The song was about a girl not wanting to swim the deep waters of life alone, but one line seemed to stand out. It said that she was a child who was hungry and wild, trying to find her way home. Tawny noticed the items on her bookcase as she swayed to the music. One red feather from the first days she was there. A dried yellow dandelion flower from the evening when she was walking home from that first movie night at Dana's, along with three kernels of caramel corn that were stuck firmly together. The wrapper from the candy bar that she'd brought home from the store when they'd had the conversation about Marcus Green.
And I still don't trust that man, even if he did do the right thing for Brooke and apologize for being a jackass, she muttered.
She picked up the little stuffed bunny from her Easter basket and hugged it close to her face. Bless Zed's heart for remembering them all on the holiday. She'd had a whole room full of stuffed animals when she was a little girl, but none of them meant as much as the little purple bunny with a yellow bow around his neck. Then there was the smooth rock that she'd picked up at the edge of the lake when Harper had scared the hell out of her. She set the bunny back down and ran a hand over the rock to remind herself that the inner demons were sometimes far worse than anything else. Her heart ached for her sister, who'd never know what it was like to hug her daughter like Dana did Brooke every single day. And the latest thing on the bookcase was her own cell phone, dead as a doornail, but there to remind her of Brooke's punishment. Not so much for getting in trouble, but for losing control of her temper.
I'm so jealous I could just spit.
Tawny backed up from the bookcase.
Dana has someone and Harper has someone. I know, Granny, that jealousy is a terrible thing. You don't have to get in my head and fuss at me.
She got dressed in a pair of pajama pants and a tank top and went outside to air dry her hair. She'd barely gotten settled in her red chair when a shiny black sports car whipped into the space between her cabin and number 6. Her chest tightened when the almighty Matthew Richmond IV crawled out of the vehicle. He wore a pair of designer khaki shorts, a shirt that probably cost as much as a week's salary at the coffee shop where she used to work, Italian loafers, and an air that let the whole world know exactly how important he was.
Hello, Tawny, he said.
Matt, she nodded. I didn't see your name on the register to rent a cabin.
From the first time she'd met him, He'd sent little waves of desire shooting through her entire body. But then, she'd always had a weak spot for guys with dark hair and pretty green eyes. And that night was no different. She was still attracted to him like a moth to a flame. But her wings had been singed. She'd realized just how dangerous that pretty yellow flickering fire had been.
Honey, I wouldn't spend a night in one of these things if you gave me double what one costs for a week.
He stopped at the bottom of the steps. What are you doing here, Matt?
I tried to get over you. I even let my girlfriend,
he made quotes in the air as he said the last word,
plan a wedding. But I couldn't go through with it. Don't look at me like that. I didn't leave her standing at the altar. I called it off 6 weeks into the planning stage. My folks were not happy with me.
I don't imagine she was either. Connie should have been happy that the sweet little angel didn't win in the end, but she felt sorry for the woman. She thought she knew Matthew and had loved him, probably even more than Tawny. And there she was, left with embarrassment and a broken heart.
I missed the excitement and fun I had with you, darling.
How did you find me?
Easy. I went to the coffee shop where you worked and the owner said your grandmother had passed away. You talked a lot about her in this place, so I gave it the first try.
And you drove all the way here from Austin to tell me that you missed me.
I tried to call first, but it kept going to voicemail, and there's not a listing for Annie's place or the lake. Come on, Tawny. Forgive me. Come home with me.
All the way from Austin.
You are worth it. Life's been so dull without you in it. I had to do a few months' work with my father in the company, and now he's sending me to Paris on a week-long business trip. Come with me, Tawny. We're gonna have so much fun exploring Paris together.
You said it was a business trip. And do your parents know that you are inviting me?
Business only lasts a few hours a day. We'll have the evenings free, and what they don't know won't hurt them.
What makes you think I'd trust you? I haven't seen you since court, when you threw me under the bus. I was at that coffee shop for months, and you never even called. He was probably telling the truth about a business trip, but when they got home, he'd leave her high and dry in some hotel on whatever coast they flew into. She knew him well enough to know that he used people to get what he wanted, and Matthew always got what he wanted. She looked out at the lake, and then her eyes shifted back to Matthew, and she held out her palms. In one hand, she had a fantastic summer of wild, crazy fun with parties and sleeping late, plus some pretty good sex. In the other, she had cabins to clean, a steaming hot laundry with a never-ending supply of sheets and towels, and all the bookwork for the place. Then she added all the trinkets on her bookcase to the hand with the work, and it won the contest hands down. She smiled at the pun and shook her head.
What's so funny?
He asked. That you think money could ever buy what I've got here.
And what's that?
He asked.
A bunch of run-down cabins? You belong in 5-star hotels drinking expensive champagne with me. Not this, Tawny. I'm sorry I didn't get in touch earlier, but I just can't understand what you see in this place when I'm offering you a good time.
I see family that supports me and trusts me. She stood up, and without even a glance over her shoulder, went inside the cabin, leaving him on the porch. She sat down at the desk and laid her hands on her arms. She'd made her choice, and she hadn't even had to think about it very long. This was where she belonged. Choices. She raised her head up. Yep, just like what George Jones sang about. We live and we die by the choices we make. She remembered that old vinyl record playing on the stereo system that used to sit in the living room. Nearly every time it finished, Granny would say those same words that had run through Tawny's mind.
Granny, if you had anything to do with that jackass showing up here tonight, I want to thank you. It's put everything in the right perspective.
She eased the door open enough to see that Matthew's car was gone. He might call now that he'd figured out where she was, but it wouldn't end well for him because she'd made up her mind about her future. She opened the door farther and over there on the bench by the cafe, the bright red flicker of a cigarette glowed in the dark. She didn't even slow down but marched barefoot across the grass and sat down beside Zed. He took a couple of long drags on the cigarette and then put it out.
That was Matthew. He was my boyfriend, until he let me take the blame for a bag full of drugs that he bought for a party he was throwing that week. I was with him when he got caught. The drugs were in my purse.
Kind of like the problem with Brooke.
She swallowed hard and nodded. Only this wasn't weed, and we were both of age. We could have both been sent to prison for the amount that he had.
Were you going to that party?
Zed asked. She thought her neck wouldn't bend, but finally she nodded a second time.
But Uncle said I didn't do drugs. I drank too much, and that's not much better. But I saw too many students who were addicted, even in high school, and I didn't ever want to look like that. Vanity kept me from messing with them. But I drank as much as Harper during the time I dated Matthew.
Rich fella from the looks of it,
Zed said. Thank goodness his family had a lot of money. They hired a fancy lawyer that got him off. I had a public defender because my mother wouldn't foot the bill for a lawyer.
How's that lucky? Zed asked.
Judge couldn't give me a hard sentence when he'd just let Matt off with a warning. It was a matter of he said, she said. He said he had no idea that I was carrying drugs. I told the truth and said that I knew they were there, but they weren't mine. I'd passed the drug test and failed the alcohol one that night. He didn't pass either one, but had very little drugs in his system. I got 3 months community service and was told I couldn't leave Austin until I'd completed it. And I got kicked out of college, she told him.
Why didn't you call us?
Zed asked. I didn't want to disappoint Granny or you, Uncle Zed. I guess you've heard that before from my sisters, right? He nodded.
Don't reckon the past matters much. Just the present and the future. What was that fancy dude wanting?
She held out her hands, palms up, and didn't have a moment's doubt about the decision she'd made.
He wanted me to go with him for a summer trip to Europe and give up what I've got here. I weighed both options in my hands like Granny told me to do when I was a little girl trying to make a decision.
Zed chuckled and lit up another cigarette.
I guess you won that battle, but he's used to getting what he wants. Will you win the war?
I can. I've got an army behind me.
A puff of smoke blew out into the night air.
Family.
Zed summed it up in one word.
That and choices. I thought of that old George Jones song about living with the choices we make. Granny used to play it a lot.
George Jones was her favorite.
A fancy smoke ring floated out into the air.
That looks like a halo.
She laid her head on Zed's shoulder.
Halos for my angels,
he said.
Uncle Zed, you'd better learn how to blow horns, because there isn't a single one of us deserves a halo, not even a smoke one.
He blew another perfect one.
First one for Harper, second one for Dana, and this one is for you.
The third one drifted away from them.
Angels aren't always perfect. You've come a long way, girl.
Zed patted her knee.
Thank you, Uncle Zed, but you do know those things are bad for you.
He sent one more ring into the air.
And that one is for Brooke. You remind me more of your granny every day. She might have chosen the easy way a couple of times in her life, but not many. Most of the times, she thought about the long haul and the peace and happiness it would bring into her world.
Thank you, Uncle Zed. I need her wisdom more and more.
Don't we all, darling?
He disposed of the cigarette butt and stood up slowly.
These old bones are crying for the easy chair.
You don't have to come outside to smoke, Uncle Zed.
Yes, I do. I promised Annie that I'd never smoke in the house. Have a good night now. I understand we're having some kind of get-together at Dana's tomorrow night. Brooke's playing the night, so there's no telling what we'll be doing.
It'll be fun just to spend time with everyone. Night, Uncle Zed.
Night, Tawny.
Zed took a shower, put on his pajama pants that were getting bigger every day, and then eased down into his recliner.
Well, our third baby has come clean about why she was so eager to get here, Annie. You always said that God works in mysterious ways.
He pulled a quilt that Annie had made special for him from the back of the chair and covered with it.
Seems like I get colder than I used to, but an old man's skin is thin, and his body wears out. I was scared tonight, Annie. I saw that fancy fella come rolling up in that shiny sports car, and I commenced to praying real hard. But she made the right decision. Not that I'm any kind of angel. Lord knows it'll take a lot of begging from you just to get me through them pearly gates. But I felt a lot like that angel in the show we used to watch. What was his name? Edward? No, that wasn't it.
He tugged on his ear and frowned, then slapped his thigh.
Earl, that was his name. Remember how he could be there for the girl for support, but God wouldn't let him interfere? Man, I sure felt like Earl tonight.
His eyes fluttered shut, and he sighed from deep inside his chest.
You sure put a lot of faith in me to leave me here to do this job. I just pray every morning that I can get the job done, darling.
Chapter 19. It was a normal Saturday morning. The cabins were full, which meant lots of extra cleaning, but Brooke was home to help all day. Tawny had unloaded her burden to Zed and made a decision that she swore she'd have no regrets about. So why did she feel like a weight was tied to her heart that morning? She stared at her reflection in the mirror and wished she could see past the superficial and actually take a peek at her heart. Maybe then she'd know how to remove that heavy feeling. As she passed by her trinket shelf, she added a cigarette butt that she found beside the bench the night before and made a circle above it with her finger.
Thank you, Uncle Zed.
She had a chip on her shoulder when she reached the cafe, and it just got bigger when she heard Harper whistling and Dana talking to Brooke about the evening. They deserved their smoke rings, but she didn't, because she didn't have the nerve to tell them her big black secret. If they knew, they'd never trust her again, not with the company's books or even to fold towels in the laundry room. Good morning, Harper said.
What's so damn good about it?
Tawny popped off. We're alive. We've got jobs and we're making good money, Dana answered.
Sounds to me like someone has some regrets after all.
Zed's face popped up in the serving window.
What's got your panties in a twist, Aunt Tawny?
Brooke asked. Tawny stormed off to the kitchen without answering her. She made a plate of bacon, eggs, and biscuits, and pulled up a stool to eat right there in the work area.
Young lady, you take that to the dining room or else everyone will want to eat in here and they'll get in my way. What's put you in this Jesus mood anyway? I thought you were in good shape last night.
Zed's tone left no room for argument.
They've come clean with everyone and I can't. And what is a Jesus mood?
Annie got in one about once a year. It's when not even Jesus himself nor all the angels in heaven could live with a person in such a mood. I reckon you got that from her along with the ability to make the right decision. It'll pass, but it'll take at least a day,
he answered. Now get out of my kitchen. I don't allow no Jesus moods in here.
Time's too short for anything but sunshine and happiness.
She shot a dirty look toward him and carried her plate back to the dining room, where she sat down at a table in the corner so that she wouldn't have to talk to her sisters. Did they get the gene for a Jesus mood, too? If they did, she sure didn't want to be around them when it hit, because it was miserable. Zed had a radio in the kitchen, and he kept it on classic country music all day. If the folks who came into the cafe didn't like country, they could stay away. Granny Annie's words. She stabbed a fork full of eggs and was about to put them in her mouth when Kenny Rogers started singing The Gambler. Even after the song ended, the lines kept running through Tawny's mind. She'd thrown away a pretty good hand the night before. The one she was holding that morning was a dud, and she couldn't even bluff her way through it.
You ready to tell us what's eating on you?
Harper asked from across the room.
You ready to tell me if you're sleeping with Wyatt?
Hey, that's personal.
Harper's eyes went from warm to cold in an instant.
What is going on? Y'all are acting like you did when we first got here. Am I going to have to bring Uncle Zed out here?
Brooke asked.
Breakfast is ready. Come on in here and help yourselves,
Zed yelled.
Don't mind her. She's in one of your Granny Annie's Jesus moods, and it'll take her a while to work things through her mind and get it over. Just give her lots of space so she can figure things out.
Tawny held out her hands. The right one was empty, and the left one had the story of why she had to do community service. The weight of the left one was the rock tied around her heart, but she wasn't ready to let it go. She pushed her chair back, left her breakfast on the table, and marched out of the cafe into the laundry room. Brooke didn't say a word when she arrived in the laundry room, but simply headed out to clean the rooms of the fishermen who'd left before daybreak. A twinge of guilt tried to hit Tawny in the heart, but it couldn't get past the hardness. She should be letting Brooke talk about how happy she was that her time spent in isolation at school was over. Right then, all Tawny could think about was that empty right hand, and how it would take part of the burden from the left one if she was willing to tell her sisters and niece. Folks in Texas said that after Easter, summer would arrive with heat and very little rain. Harper considered them prophets as she went outside after the noon rush that Saturday to catch a breath of air that didn't smell like grilled onions. She was sitting on the bench when Zed motioned her to come back inside.
"Phone's for you," he said. "We might ought to look at getting some of that cell phone service in this area for you girls."
"We're making it fine without it."
Harper followed him back inside the cafe and picked up the receiver from the wall-hung phone.
"Hello?"
"Hey, darling."
Wyatt's deep voice sent tingles through her body.
"Where are you?"
she asked.
"Stuck at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. I was supposed to be in Dallas right now. But there's some kind of bomb threat up here and they've grounded the planes. So I won't be there for Brooke's family thing. It'll be after midnight when my plane lands. And tomorrow I've got a one-day trip with some fishermen out on a lake up near Wiley, so I'll be working on very little sleep. See you tomorrow night."
"I'll be right here," she said.
"I wish you could have come with me. The boat show was amazing. I picked out my next one. Gotta go, darling. My battery needs charging, and I have to find a station."
If she didn't have to be in the kitchen 7 days a week, she could have been there with him. He'd asked her if there was any way she could take off 2 days, but she wouldn't even ask her sisters, not since they'd lost Flora. "Call me when you have time," she said.
"Will do,"
Wyatt said, and the line went dead. She stomped her foot and growled. "Damn it!"
"Problems?"
Zed asked. "He can't make it tonight. Brooke is going to be disappointed." Zed pursed his mouth and poured 2 glasses of sweet tea.
"I'm going outside for a cigarette. Might as well join me."
She followed him outside, plopped down on the bench, and folded her arms over her chest.
"Guess Tawny ain't the only one who's in a foul mood today. Amazing how little it takes to turn pretty blue skies to dark. Your Granny Annie used to say that it wasn't the mountain that put her in a bad way, but the grain of sand in her shoe. Brooke will be fine."
He crushed the cigarette butt on the heel of his shoe. She didn't need a lecture or words of advice, especially when they made her feel guilty for feeling the way she did. What she needed was Wyatt. She made it through the days just fine, but the nights were a different matter. "Tawny hasn't got a monopoly on Granny's moods," Harper said. "But I do remember Granny saying that hard work would cure anything. I'm going to go mop the floors. That little blonde-haired girl spilled a whole glass of Coke and it's still sticky."
"I saw you looking at her with yearning in your eyes,"
Zed said. "I won't ever be completely over it, but it's getting better." Zed leaned back against the building and shut his eyes, enjoying the warmth of the sun and thinking of Annie. If she was going to have a Jesus mood day, it would usually arrive on June 1st, because that's when the girls used to come for a month. He understood and prepared for it, giving her lots of space and doing all he could just to get through the big disappointment.
"You asleep?"
Dana whispered.
"No, just resting my eyes. Sit down and enjoy this beautiful day with me,"
he said without opening his eyes. He could feel her presence and right along with it, her anger.
"Lord,"
he prayed silently.
"Now you know it was about all I could do to handle Annie when she was having one of these days, but to throw 3 of them at me at the same time, well, that's a load that even Samson couldn't bear up under."
"Peyton called. He's got a problem with the tank and he can't come tonight,"
she finally huffed.
"Wyatt's stuck in Chicago at the airport, and he won't be here neither, and I've been feeling a mite under the weather, so I expect y'all are gonna have to have a girls' night. Why don't you go on up to Tyler and do some shopping? Be all good to get out for the evening. Cabins are full and rented, so you ain't got no late folks coming in."
He didn't say that he was all out of advice for them, or that he really wanted an evening to himself for a change. Nope, that wouldn't be something Earl from that television show would do, and if Zed was going to be an angel, then he had to take care of his responsibilities.
"Saving Grace," he said out loud.
"What?" Dana asked. "Is that a store in the mall?"
"No, it's a television show that was on some years ago. This big guy played Grace's second chance angel. I just now remember the name of the series."
"I love that series. Earl was the angel's name, and he stole my heart," Dana said. "Come to think of it, you are our Earl, Uncle Zed. You've given us all a second chance."
"Don't go gluing no wings on me or floating a halo up above my gray hair. It was Annie that gave y'all a second chance," he said. "You're in a mood over Peyton not coming tonight. I'd like to put all three of you in a tow sack, throw it over a clothesline, and let y'all fight it out."
Dana patted him on the knee. "I hear a vehicle pulling up in front of the store. Go on and get that tow sack out, because none of us is fit to live with today. Brooke's even in a snit. I don't think a trip to the mall would even help, especially when her two aunts." He cleared his throat and gave her a sidelong look. "Okay, all three of us are in a pissy mood."
"Chocolate ice cream is in the freezer. You take a half gallon home with you and hand out four spoons. You can't stay mad at each other forever when you're eating out of the same ice cream box," he said.
Chapter 20 Night breezes ruffled Tawny's wet hair as she walked barefoot from her cabin to the edge of the lake. After the day she'd spent, she probably should wade right out there like her sister Harper had done and leave everything in the water. But Tawny didn't like swimming in anything other than a nice, clear, chlorinated pool where she could see the bottom and know exactly how deep the water was. Her flowing gauze skirt floated out around her when she sat down. She was glad she'd brought along her denim jacket, because the air was turning cool. Stretching out her legs so her toes were in the water, she was amazed to feel the water warm her skin. No monsters rose up out of the water either, which was something. She didn't even glance at Harper when she sat down beside her, kicked off her shoes, rolled up the legs of her jeans, and stuck her long, long legs out into the water.
"There are miles and miles of shoreline along the lake, so why does Harper need that spot for a few minutes of quiet meditation?"
Then Dana copped a squat on the other side of her, pulled up the skirt tail of her sundress, and put her feet in the water.
"What does a woman have to do to get a few minutes' peace?"
All Tawny wanted was to sit a few minutes before she had to go to Dana's and eat ice cream. To appease Brooke, she'd go, eat one bite, and then leave just to prove that it was an insane idea even if it did come from Uncle Zed. Not a one of them said a word, but just sat there in quietness for 15 minutes, and then Dana drew her feet out of the water and started past the cabins toward the house. Harper followed her, and with a long sigh, Tawny did the same. She was the last one in the house, but no one was talking or eating. All three of the others had claimed one side of the quilt that had been spread out on the living room floor. With only one left for her, she sat down and crossed her legs yoga style and stared at the container of chocolate ice cream right in the middle of the quilt. A spoon was stuck in each of the four corners. One container, one family. Four different spoons, but they all came from the same set, the sisters and niece. Brooke was the first one to dig deep into the ice cream, Tawny the last. They finished off the ice cream with only a few sighs. Brooke carried the empty container to the kitchen and brought out one with pecans, pralines, and cream. She set it down and said,
"I started the last one. Aunt Tawny gets the first bite of this one, since she's the one that caused this pissy mood day."
"Hey!" Tawny raised her voice and then lowered it.
But be honest," Brooke said.
Tawny dipped into the ice cream.
"I guess I did get it started. But I had a reason. Y'all are just pissed because your fellers didn't make it to the party. And I'm pissed because I don't even have a boyfriend to get mad at, among other things," she added.
"I haven't got a boyfriend either, so that won't float."
Brooke brought a big spoonful to her mouth and licked it like an ice cream cone.
"Honey, you've got two guys who think you are a little princess. Peyton and Wyatt both. And you don't have to do anything but be adored."
Tawny started for another bite, but Harper shoved her spoon out of the way.
"That's mine. It's in my corner, and I've had my eye on that pecan."
Harper's tone was as cold as the ice cream. Using her spoon as a battle sword, Tony shoved Harper's away and grabbed the bite with the pecan half and shoved it into her mouth.
You brat!
Harper sank her spoon into Tawny's corner and brought up two pecan halves.
See what you get for that stunt?
Dana leaned over and took the whole bite off Harper's spoon.
What's got your panties in a twist this morning anyway, Tawny?
She said when she finally swallowed.
Matt came to see me last night, she said.
And who's Matt?
Brooke asked.
He's my Ryson, only I was Cassidy instead of you.
Tawny was amazed at how easy the words came out.
And what did your Matt want? For you to sell drugs?
Brooke asked.
He wanted me to go to Europe with him for a summer of luxury, but there would have probably been drugs and for sure a lot of alcohol.
She reached over into Dana's part of the ice cream and got her hand slapped.
Please tell me you aren't going. Is that why you've been an old bear? You don't want to tell us?
Brooke stuck her spoon in the ice cream and folded her arms over her chest.
I'm not going, darling girl. I'm staying right here. And the reason I was so cranky is because...
She took a deep breath.
Y'all have been open about your problems. I haven't, and...
She went on to tell them the whole story.
So that's why you got so mad at Ryson. You done been there and done that and got in more trouble than I did,
Brooke said.
Yes, ma'am.
Tawny stuck her spoon in the center of the ice cream and leaned against the sofa.
Must be the calories and sugar, but that wasn't as hard to tell y'all as I imagined. I can't stand that Granny is gone, but...
Tears welled up in her eyes, and there was no way she could get the lump in her throat to go down.
But if she hadn't died when she did, we'd all be in trouble, right?
Dana said.
Y'all ever watch that television show, Saving Grace? Uncle Zed was talking about it today.
Harper raised her hand.
It was showing when I was in the unwed mother's home. I wished I had an Earl in my life.
Who's Earl?
Brooke asked.
He was this big, burly angel who took care of the leading lady Grace in the show,
Harper said.
I've never seen it,
Tawny said.
Me neither,
Brooke said.
Wild child. Second chance angel,
Dana explained.
So I feel like Granny left Uncle Zed behind to be our Earl. He's kind of stepped into her boots as best he can and helped us get to this place. We've survived a day when we've all been a hell of a lot less than our best.
It was a chocolate ice cream,
Brooke said.
That will fix anything.
Amen,
Harper said. Dana sighed.
I was fired from my job. I didn't quit like I let y'all believe. My boss got the mistaken notion in her head that I was sleeping with her husband and stealing money, too. She said she'd give me a bad recommendation wherever I went, so I was between a rock and a hard place. Then Uncle Zed called, and Lord, I felt guilty for being grateful that Granny had left this place for us. I still do. Amen.
Tawny raised a hand.
Well, hot damn!
Brooke said loudly, raising both hands into the air.
Brooke!
Dana scolded.
Hey, after the way y'all been today, I'm entitled to one cuss word. I had to live with a bunch of you moping around like a bunch of babies,
she said.
Girl's got a point.
Harper got one more bite of ice cream, then put her spoon in the middle of what was left.
Thank you.
Brooke did a mini bow from a sitting position.
I've been dying to tell y'all my news all day, but I didn't want to say anything until you all made up.
Made up?
Dana asked. Brooke waved both hands in the air.
That's what I said. I have a new friend. That's my news.
Tawny was happy for Brooke, but in that moment she realized that she didn't have any friends. The ones that she and Matt had partied with distanced themselves from her when she was expelled from college. The ones she had before Matt had already taken a step back because they weren't included in her new circle of rich friends.
Good. What's her name?
Dana asked.
Not her. His name is Johnny Eagle, and he's a Native American boy.
Oh, really?
Tawny's eyebrows shot up as she remembered her best friend in high school. She crossed her fingers behind her back and hoped that Dana didn't react to this new person the way that Retha had when she brought Andre home for a study night. The yelling when he left that evening was almost as bad as the one right before Harper left.
Yep, he was in suspension for being late to class too many times. He gets all wrapped up in a book at noon and doesn't hear the bell.
And he's just a friend?
Harper asked.
Yes, Aunt Harper, he likes a girl, but he's too shy to tell her.
If he's that shy, then how come he talks to you?
Dana asked.
Because I talked to him first. He was reading a book I just finished, and I asked him how he liked it. And we got to talking, and he and his uncle are coming to the lake to fish tomorrow, and I invited him to come meet y'all at the end of the day. He lives with his grandma and two uncles.
Brooke spit out before anyone could say another word.
A friend that's a guy, huh?
Dana asked.
Don't judge him until you've met him,
Tawny said.
Why would you say that?
Because I had a best friend in junior high school, and when I brought him home, Mama threw a hissy because he was black and came from a poor side of town. He was a good kid, sang in the church choir and made excellent grades, by the way. If she'd let us be friends, who knows what path my life might have taken?
Tawny said.
Kind of like Granny and Uncle Zed,
Brooke asked.
That's right, Tawny said. They had such a sweet friendship. It would be easy to be jealous of them. No wonder he misses her so bad.
I wasn't going to judge him, but thanks for telling me that, Dana said. It's not his race that made me flinch. It was the fact that he's a guy. Brooke frowned.
Girls are whiny and gossipy and bitchy. Boys are different. We talk about books we've read and our favorite movies, and he even likes to fish. So?
Well, I would like to meet your new friend, Dana said.
Thanks, Mama. And I'm real sorry about you getting fired. You should have told me, and I wouldn't have thrown such a fit about leaving the ranch.
Water under the bridge. What does this new friend look like?
Dana moved around the quilt to drape an arm around her daughter's shoulder.
He's a nerd. Glasses that won't stay up on his nose. Black hair that's too long. He's taller than me, but only a little bit. And he's got braces. His folks are originally from somewhere in Oklahoma. Don't start, Mama.
Brooke gave her a knowing look.
He can be your friend, but not on the Texas-Oklahoma football weekend. Not if he's rooting for the Sooners, Dana said.
Brooke got one more bite of ice cream and then carried the container back to the kitchen and put it in the freezer.
He's not into football, so you don't have to worry about that.
Braces hurt when you kiss. I'm speaking from experience,
Tawny giggled.
Johnny is my friend, not my boyfriend. I don't want to kiss him, Brooke yelled.
Another stab of jealousy hit Tawny in the middle of her heart. Brooke had a new friend, and both her sisters had someone promising in their lives. She took a long, hard look at her niece chattering away about some book she and her new friend were both reading, then at Dana, who had to be happy that Brooke hadn't let the drama with Cassidy hold her back. After that, she let her eyes shift over to Harper, who was actually wearing a smile. Granny Annie would be proud of them that evening for sure. Sunday was always busy at the store, but there was usually a 10-minute break a couple of times a day. Not so that day. If a guest wasn't checking out, then the store was full of folks needing supplies. From the time Dana opened the doors that morning until noon, she hardly had time to even sip on a cup of coffee. Pretty weather had brought folks out in droves, on the edge of the lake and out on it. Kids' laughter and the buzz of conversations filled the air. But about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a lull that let Dana sit down on the stool behind the counter. She'd barely gotten her aching feet propped up when Brooke popped into the store with a teenage boy right behind her.
Mama, this is Johnny. Johnny, this is my mama, Dana.
Nice to meet you, Miss Clancy.
The poor kid looked like he could easily either faint or run. His hand trembled when he shook hers.
I was wondering if it would be all right if Brooke came fishing with me.
That's when the guilt trip struck Dana. Brooke went to school and worked. She and Cassidy had giggled on the telephone a few times and had talked about having a sleepover, but the child hadn't had time to play since they'd arrived.
I can't, Johnny. Aunt Tawny needs help in the laundry,
Brooke answered for her mother.
If you'd like the afternoon off, I think we can manage, Dana said. Tawny and I can finish up after we close down the store and cafe this evening. You go on and have a good time. Y'all fishing from the bank or do you have a boat?
From the bank today, down on that big flat rock. You know where it is?
Johnny asked. Dana nodded.
And we're planning on you coming back to the house with her this evening for pizza.
Thank you.
Johnny finally smiled, showing off orange braces.
You ready, Brooke? Me and Uncle Nick brought extra gear so you don't need to bring anything.
You sure about this, Mama?
Brooke asked.
Yes,
But I do think you should let me braid your hair. It's awfully warm out today and the wind is blowing. You'll be fighting it in your face all day. Johnny, you mind waiting about 3 minutes while us ladies make a trip to the bathroom? Dana asked.
Not a bit. Uncle Nick is getting us some...